Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today. This is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it is an absolutely beautiful day that God has given to us. I always love this time of the year. The heat is broken. The insects have gone away for the most part. The sky is that beautiful autumn blue. It's just a beautiful day, and I hope that you're enjoying the day where you are. Not only physically, not only being able to look at the creation that God has, but also a beautiful day in terms of experiencing God's grace and His goodness. And I hope that you're enjoying His fellowship today. I do want to again thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible. But as we come together, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this day that you have made. Lord, the beauty of it, which speaks of your power, your glory, your goodness. Father, we're just thankful for your love and your grace and your salvation. Father, your goodness unto us. Father, the fact that you, a God as great and wonderful as you are, want us to know you. You bring us into a relationship with you through your Son. And then, Father, by your Spirit, you enable us to know you and to walk with you. Father, thank you for this time that you have given to us, to be in the Word that you have given. Father, so we may know you and grow in you, hear you, Lord, and be closer to you. Father, speak to us, draw us close, we pray, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, again, I hope that you are having a great day and a wonderful season in your life. But I'm sure, in fact, as I know, even if you are, there's probably some little issue, some burden, some worry, some concern in your life. Or it may very well be that you're facing a major problem today, and this is maybe for you a very difficult season. Well, how do we face such things? Whether it's, you know, small ongoing problems of just life and living, or some major adversity. Well, we get some idea about that. The answer to that is we open God's Word to Psalm 108. It's a psalm by David, and it's a psalm involving war. It's a psalm involving battle. It's a psalm obviously involving a very desperate time for David and for the nation of Israel. They had obviously stumbled and struggled in this period, and they're seeking God. But as David prays about this time, we see some lessons that we can learn from him about approaching and dealing with such times in our own life. And so look with me, I want us just to go ahead and read through the psalm to begin with. It's a relatively short psalm, it's only 13 verses long. But you think about this as we read through this psalm. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing praises even with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. And I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and answer me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will exalt. I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my scepter, Moab is my washbowl. Over Edom I shall throw my shoe, over Philistia I will shout aloud. Who will bring me into the besieged city? Who will lead me into Edom? Have not you yourself, O God, rejected us? And will you not go forth with our enemies, O God? O give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is in vain. Through God we will do valiantly, and it is He who shall tread down our adversaries. So we look at the psalm, obviously they're dealing with a difficult time, and you get the unmistakable impression that probably they had brought it, as we would say, brought it about themselves, and they were dealing with that. But as we think about facing difficulties and hardships, whether we're having a great day and it's just the little ongoing issues of life, or whether you're in a season of major adversity, we see the lessons that we need to apply. The first thing that we need to do is the fact that we need to seek the Lord. Now, I know we just read through the whole psalm, but I want to reread verses 1 through 6 again. I know it's a somewhat long reread, but you think about what David is saying here. You know, in the midst of this trouble, in the midst of this problem, in the midst of this war, in the midst of this very desperate battle, think about what David is saying here. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing. I will sing praises even with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and answer me. Do you see what David is saying there? David said, I will awaken the dawn, there in verse 2. You think about that. In the midst of a very difficult problem, a very difficult season, a very difficult battle, David is a king, meaning everything in the nation rests on his shoulders. He's also the military commander, so the whole operation, again, hangs on him. There's no one to pass the buck to. It all comes back to him. You think about all the burdens, all the concerns that David would have in those two positions, and yet you think about what he says there in verse 2, I will awaken the dawn. This is so important. David is saying, I'm going to get up early. This meeting with God must be done first. If nothing else gets done today, this is going to have to be done. You know, we see the priority of seeking God about the difficulties and the issues of life. Again, whether we're going through a great season and it's little things, or whether it's a time of major adversity, and in spite of the fact we may have many other pressing demands and responsibilities and commitments, there's nothing more important than meeting with God. And like David, we need to set the alarm clock, so to speak, to get up and to meet with God, because nothing else is more important. Everything else hinges upon our relationship with Him. But not only do we see that priority, but did you notice as well the key element about the seeking of God? Certainly there was the petitioning and the seeking of deliverance, but did you notice that more than anything, it was about worship? In fact, David worships before he asks for God's intervention. You know, we need to, in fact, seek our Lord in worship. And I know, you know, when we're going through a time of adversity or difficulty, or we have a problem on our mind, you know, our first instinct is, you know, if we pray, and certainly, and we should pray, but when we pray, to immediately get to that problem. And yet, that's actually the last thing that David gets to here. And you think about the importance of it. You think about how this completely changes our framework, our mental framework, our outlook, our attitude. When we really take that time to worship, it reminds us who God is. Look at verse 4. Your loving kindness is great above the heavens. Your truth reaches to the skies. I don't know what day you're watching this, but this is an absolutely beautiful day. And again, it has one of those beautiful autumn blue skies that you see forever, you think, as you look out there. And yet you think about this. God's loving kindness is, you know, if we were out here at night looking at the stars and the planets, God's loving kindness for us would be even beyond those. As we sit here today, God's truth reaches even to the skies. You know, as far as you can see into that beautiful blue autumn sky there behind me, God's truth is even greater. What a God we have. It reminds us just how good He is. It can't even be measured above the sky, above the stars and the planets, if you could somehow graph it that much. No, that reminds us He rules over everything. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth. God is sovereign over all of this. He created all of it. It exists only because He brought it into existence. Colossians tells us it stays in existence only because He holds it together. How great is our God, and how He causes everything to work for our behalf. Verse 6, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and answer me. You know, just thinking about God, how He, His goodness, how He rules over everything, how He works all things in our behalf, doesn't it diminish our mental perception about how big our problems are, how big our problem is? You know, we have the tendency, we look at our trials, our adversities, our difficulties, and we look at them and they just seem huge. And the longer we look at them, the bigger they get. But isn't it amazing when we truly take the time, as David did, to worship our Lord, see Him in His greatness, His goodness, His working on our behalf, how much smaller those problems begin to be. In fact, is then they begin to shrink in our size, in our sight. Best thing we can do when we're facing a problem, large or small, incidental or a season of our life, is to set the alarm clock, so to speak, meet with God, and truly seek Him and worship Him. And so we worship the Lord, but then notice as well, we listen to the Lord. We praise our Father. We thank Him. Certainly we petition, intercede for Him, with Him for others. But then we need to listen. In fact, as you think with me, and this might seem to be somewhat silly when I ask this question, just imagine this with me. Here's God. Here's us. In a conversation, who ought to do the most talking and who ought to be listening? You know, if you were going to meet with some great influential person, maybe you're having some problem or an issue and they or the individual has the resources to solve the problem, whatever resources they are, or you were consulting them about how to solve the problem, who ought to do the most talking and who ought to do the most listening? David certainly prays here, but then he takes the time to truly listen to our Lord. And you think about what he says here in verses 7 through 9 again. God has spoken in his holiness. I will exalt. I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my washbowl. Over Edom I shall throw my shoe. Over Philistia I will shout aloud. You think about what God is saying. God is saying, I will protect Israel, my people. Shechem is a reference to Ephraim. Succoth is a reference to the tribe of Gad. Gilead was east of the Jordan. Manasseh was both east and west of Jordan. Ephraim, you know, it talks there about being the helmet of my head. That's a picture of strength. Ephraim was a leading tribe in Israel. In fact, they were the leading tribe in the northern 10 tribes. He then describes Judah, of course, and that being the tribe that David was from. It was the tribe that God, in fact, chosen to rule and reign. Our Lord is of the tribe of Judah. God made it clear that he was going to watch over his people. That's the whole implication there. You know, if we would listen to God, we would hear him say, I will take care of you. I will carry you through this. I will provide for you. I will meet this need. But God doesn't stop talking really about the protection he's going to offer his people. He also goes on to talk about the deliverance. He also goes on to talk about the victory. You think about the next group that's listed there in verse 9. He lists Moab as being his washbowl, Edom upon whom he would throw his shoe, Philistia over whom he would shout aloud. Moab, again, one of the enemies of Israel. They're kind of east, northeast. He said they'd be like a washbowl. The picture there is like the most menial, like a menial slave doing some menial task. He's saying, Moab is my washbowl. Edom, southeast. Over Edom, I will throw my shoe. There, that's actually the most menial slave. I mean, the picture there is like the master coming into his house and just tossing his sandals or his shoes to his servant and expecting them to take care of them at that point. Philistia, no doubt we know a lot about the Philistines when you read the Old Testament. I will shout aloud. In other words, he will have victory over them. Do you hear what God is saying? I will defeat the enemy. I will handle the problem. You know, if we would but listen to God, he would tell us, I will take care of you. I will solve the problem. I will meet the need. I will strengthen you through this. I will carry you through this adversity. We need to listen. Certainly, we need to pray. And the biggest part of that needs to be worship. But then we need to listen and be quiet and to hear what God says, because it's then that we have his assurance, his peace, the confidence that he gives. And then coming out of that, number three, we trust the Lord. We trust him, not just for an emotional peace, that's great, but that we, in fact, would trust him enough to obey him and to follow him. You think about verses 10 through 12. Who will bring me into the besieged city? Who will lead me into Edom? In other words, who will give me victory? Have not you yourself, O God, rejected us? And will you not go forth with our armies, O God? Apparently Israel had stumbled. It was because of sin. And this part of this psalm is dealing with that. David petitions, verse, oh, give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is vain. What comes out of all of this? Verse 13, through God we will do valiantly. It is he who shall tread down our adversaries. You see what David is saying? There's a confidence in the Lord, but based upon that confidence was a commitment to follow him and to obey him. David followed because he obeyed. You know, seeking the Lord in worship primarily, and then listening to the Lord should always lead to trust in the Lord. Where we face that situation in the confidence of the strength of the Lord, doing what God has called us to do. Now again, I'm sure probably every one of us is facing something. It might just be a little nagging somethings for you. I hope that you're going through such a wonderful season of your life that all your problems are very, very small and insignificant today. But you also may be going through a very, very difficult time. Look at the example that David's given to us. Get up early, set the alarm, meet with God in worship and to petition. Listen to him. Let him hear, yes, the promise to carry you, but also the promise that he's going to solve the problem. And when your prayer is completed, get up and follow him. Trust him enough to do what he would have for you to do. And like David, we will experience his working, his deliverance, and his victory. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. And Father, as beautiful as it is physically to look upon and just to feel, to experience, Father, is even more beautiful, Father. And what really makes it beautiful is you, knowing you as the living God. Father, thank you for your salvation. Father, thank you for your love, your desire to be in our lives and for us to know you. Father, as we go through this day, may we walk with you and trust you. Lord, may we already have sought you and listened to you, and may we step out in obedience and follow you. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, as you go through today, whether your problems today are large or small, I hope that you, like David, experience God's strength and guidance, that you get to watch him obtain a victory, and that you'll hear him and grow in him. And as a result of that you will have a wonderful day of walking with the Lord.